Good day, everyone, and welcome to the third edition of the IITA Youth Agripreneurs Podcast Series. My name is Adumoye Oluyemi Victory, and I'll be the moderator for the discussions we'll be having today. We will be speaking about how youth-to-youth partnerships in agribusiness can help and also be maximized during and after the COVID-19 pandemic. Today, I am joined by four entrepreneurs from Rwanda, and I would like them to introduce themselves firstly. Please speak about yourselves and then the businesses you are engaged in so our audience can have good understanding of who you are. So I would like to start with Ms. Yvonne.
Okay, my name is Utuza Yvonne, heading a company of UN Junction. Started in 2017. I'm a farmer of chicken. I think everyone is hearing me. Hello?
Yes, I can hear you very clearly. Please go ahead.
Okay. I'm a farmer of chicken. I started in 2017 in area of Rwanda. I started with 400 chicken with three workers, and after 1 year I started with another phase for 100 chicks. 1,000 chicks. And by now, I'm having 2,000 chicks. With six workers. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much, Yvonne. Please, can we have an introduction from Mr. Alex?
Yes, thank you so much. My name is Chimiman Alexandre, but I prefer Alex. I am an entrepreneur in agro-processing. I do avocado processing. We make oil, and we also go ahead and make cosmetics out of the oil. So I started in 2016, and we were a team of three. But now we are a team of 16. So the company has grown even in the terms of processing. I remember when we started, we had the capacity to produce one bucket of 60 kilograms. But of course, today we, 16 people. Five of them are in production every day, and we can process around 16 tons of avocados every month. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alex. Can we have an introduction from Prosper?
Hello, everyone. Hello.
Hi, Prosper. We can hear you.
Okay, I'm by name's Prosper Dutonya Kumana. I'm the managing director of Dhahabu Harvest Rwanda Limited. So Dhahabu, you know, is gold. So our vision or idea was to make these products, agricultural products, to make them like gold to farmers. So my company is working in Gasabo district of Rwanda. We have a marshland called Rufigiza, Nyagisenyi. So we are focusing on French beans, where we have got a market. So we supply our French beans to Europe through through our buyer, our contracted buyer. So mainly I'm focusing in production, in horticulture production. And we also collect agricultural products from other farmers. Once we have done marketing and once we have got a market, we supply beans, French beans, and other vegetables from our farm, but also from other farmers accordingly to found markets. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Prosper. Finally, we'd like to have an introduction from Ms. Zubeda.
Is that me? Hello?
Hi, yes, you have the floor, please.
Is it my turn? Okay.
Yes, it is. Please go ahead.
Okay. My name is Faida Zubeda Owase. I'm the founder of Inhingi Modern Farmers. I'm a farmer of horticulture products. We started last year in January before COVID. So I'm still a producer for now, but hopefully I'm planning to be a processor and exporter of my product next year. So we do farming in Kigali, district of Rwanda. And I would like to join you today. Thank you. Hello?
Hi, Zubeda, we can hear you. Please go on.
Oh. Yeah, so my envisions to my company is to be a producer, a processor, and an exporter of the horticulture products, just to make sure that we achieve the zero hunger in our world. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, now we'll get right on with the business for today. Okay, so now we'll start, get right on with the business for today. I'd like to ask a question to our panelists now. How has COVID-19 affected your business or your company? What are the challenges that you've faced and the coping mechanisms that you've been able to come up with to mitigate some of those challenges that you've encountered? I would like to hear first from Mr. Alex.
Well, thank you. When we started the year 2020, it was more of fun. It was interesting. We had 26 employees, so we had so many opportunities, a lot of markets that were popping up, and we are so excited to enter into 2020 because actually in Rwanda it was our visionary year. So we have been waiting for 2020 when everyone will be happy. So it was so unfortunate that when COVID hit, we had to go under total lockdown. And after lockdown, we actually managed to open up after 8 months of closing. So in the 8 months, we did not make any sales. We made a loss of $6,000. And we were in minus $6,000. And when it came to the workers, we started coming one by one, because I started putting everything together again, then inviting a few of our production team, inviting a few of our administrative team. So slowly by slowly, we managed to get back to work. However, not all in function are not fully working. Some are just working a few days a week, and others are working like 10 of us are working every day, but the six come in shifts. Really, COVID hit us at the back, but we still managed to get along and managed to come out of the total crossing. Yeah.
Okay. Just a follow-up question to that. You had a team of 16 at some point when you grew your business. So what? How many employees do you have now at the moment since you've been able to restart again? And then what part of your business are you focusing on? Would that be the avocado oil or the cosmetics part?
Yeah, so when COVID, before COVID, we were a team of 26. So through COVID, we were only two, because we had another department, which we were also raising up, which consisted of 10. So the processing department was also the department consisting of another group of 10 with the management team of five, including me, the sixth person. So the total was 26 before COVID. But now the other 10 were raided out. We only remained in the oil and the production department and the management. So we are now 16.
Okay, I'll come back to you in a bit. So the same question, can you respond, Mr. Mr. Prosper? Hello, do we have Prosper online? Okay. I think we don't have Prosper with us. Can you answer same question, Miss Yvonne?
Hello. Hello.
Okay. Yes. Please go ahead.
I'm in. Please. Would you please come back to me with the question? Then. I was following Miss Alex's answers. But please, would you come back to me?
Okay, very well then. So the question is this: how has COVID-19 affected your business or company? What are the challenges you faced and the coping mechanisms you've been able to come up with as a result of those challenges? And have you achieved results because of that?
Okay, thank you. In my introduction, as I said, we got a buyer who is linking us to foreign consumers. The company is Proxy Fresh. Did you hear about Proxy Fresh? So.
No, I haven't heard about
with
that product.
The international lockdown, when the planes were not flying, so we lost totally our market, and we lost our products and the money and the revenues. So to cope with this was the main challenge. Then to solve the challenge, you know, the French beans, they grow in a period of 45 days. Can you hear me?
Can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, it was 45 days for them to mature and to go to market. So when they are ready to market, we were totally in lockdown. So then this was a very big challenge. We have fallen in a total loss. Then after, we changed to producing other vegetables like cabbages, mainly cabbages, amaranthus. We have been dealing since then with the local market, since the foreign market was not working. So we shifted to products that we can sell locally. You know, here the price to Proxy Fresh was in Rwanda and France, it was 550 per kilo. So locally, it's 200 Rwandan francs. So when since this market stopped, we changed to producing these products that are liked by local consumers. So we shifted to cabbages, onions, and so mainly cabbages, onions, and other vegetables and eggplants, those vegetables that can be sold locally as we are waiting for these measures to be favorable to us. I think I've responded.
So just a follow-up question to that. At what point did you decide that you could not continue production with the beans and you had to shift to maybe another product? And what kind of support did you receive in that system in terms of maybe partners that were able to put you through and then help you to really like fix yourself in that other market to support your business? And then just to add to that, did you have to maybe downsize on the number of people working with you, or you just maintained your staff strength?
The number? As I said, you know these French beans, we got a product in horticulture that especially in Rwanda, they are not liked by Rwandan consumers. Like French beans, these yellow pepper, red pepper, they are not mainly the choice to local consumers. So when we lose local foreign market, we got land from the government. Much lands in Rwanda, they belong to the government, and the government give the land to those people who come together to use well the land. So it's up to us to decide how to use the land accordingly to the available buyers. So these the foreign buyers, they can pay 550 Rwandan francs. It's below $1, but it's around. But when you go to local market, they don't like them. Those who can pay, they pay between 200 and 300 per kilo. So that's why we decided to shift to those products that our local consumers are used to. So we can't, about the local market, we are not so far aware of the people that we are selling to. We don't have contract. We just go to market. Especially many people come to farm gate. They come to farm gate, we negotiate, then they take the product, but we don't have contract. They know where our farms are. They come every time since we plant in the phases. So I can't say to how many people, to which people we sell, but they come to farm gate, they take products, they pay in cash. That's it.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll come back to you with follow-up questions. Now yes, we'd like to hear from Miss Yvonne. Let me just state the question again. How has COVID-19 affected your business? What challenges have you faced? What COVID-19 specific challenges have you faced? And how have you been able to cope as we are still in a pandemic, even though it's a bit reduced now, in terms of the restrictions? Now, that's what I'm talking about. But how have you coped? How did you cope then when it was really intense, when most of the countries had to go on lockdown? And how are you coping now? Okay, do we still have Miss Yvonne with us? Okay. So maybe we lost her. Maybe the network is not good where she is. Oh, okay.
Hello.
I see you're on. Yes, I can hear you. Were you able to get the questions I asked?
Yes, I heard. Thank you very much. Yeah. As we know, this pandemic has caused many challenges in many businesses. So my own challenges was because I told you that I'm a farmer of chicks. The way I started was 400 chicks, and now before the pandemic, I was in a good range because I have started producing chicks with my machine, my own machine, I mean incubator. So in those days was, a green year for me because my clients was hotels, was restaurant, bars, local markets, yeah, and even some families, neighbors. I was producing those eggs, chicks, meat chicks, and also some to start for those who want to start their business for becoming farmer of chickens. Of course, I have having those market for helping people to start the growing their own chicks. So my challenges was that I lost my clients because all hotels was closed, restaurant was closed. Yeah, of course, people also were scared to start that business because everyone wants, the main was, how can I get something to eat? Not to enter in business, you know. So that was the first challenge, to lose my customers, I mean my clients. Then the second was how can I feed my chicks? Because also feeding was a problem to get those ingredients for mixing. These chicks, we feed them a good quality of food. So I lost how to get that food. Medicines, vaccinations, yeah, because these smaller chicks have many diseases. So you have to follow day by day to see how it is. So vaccinations was rare on the market because many borders was closed. Yeah. The third one, how do I have to pay my workers? Because I told you that I was having 6 workers. So when you don't work, you don't gain some money, you can get some money for paying your workers. So I started to remove some workers. I myself and 2, we stay. So means we stay 3. How I overcome those challenges? Still now, we are still fighting. I started to found the way I can emphasize, cause I see this business is more important in my country. So I close to my bank. I asked some money to refund my business, so that I can expand. I will not shut down. I will keep move on. Then they give me some money. I found the way how I can start making my own my own feed. How can I started how I can mix those ingredients. Those are maize, soja, cottons. Yeah, there are many. So I started to learn the way I can make my own food for my chickens. Yeah, I buy machines. I learned the method for mixing. Freezer for putting those meat, even eggs. Yeah, because my vision was, how can I get, because in lockdown, we have got another challenge, because we lose our customer for eggs. So the government was, they help us. We take the eggs to local governments. They help us to supply to these people who are poor, so that they can increase their malnutrition, to reduce malnutrition for their kids. But the price was too low. Because one egg we used to supply on 80 Rwandan francs. Yeah, 80 Rwandan francs. So on those days, we give to 50 Rwandan francs. So it's a big difference of 30 Rwandan francs. So which means it's a loss. Even if we are saving some people who are poor, but also our business was very affected. So that's the support I had, and that's the way I found to recover some problems in my business. Yeah, I think that's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this insight you've given to us today, Yvonne. Just a follow-up question. So right now, at what scale are you operating at? I know you said you moved from 400 chickens and now you're operating about 2,000. Are you still operating at your 2,000 chick capacity?
By now, because I follow to my bank. And now, you know, in this business, there is it's a rotation. When this chick are 5 months, they started to produce eggs. And some we start to take to the market as meat. So 20% by now I took to the local market. Because they now grow as becoming food, you know, people, we like chicken mix and they are so nice to our health, more than red meat. So by now, 20% of my chick I took to the local market and they buy it. So, 7% they are now giving eggs, and now you see some restaurant and the hotels they try to open a bit, not big but a bit. Yeah, by now I can see, I have a hope something are changing. And as we know, in June we are waiting for a big conference of CHOGAM, and I hope things are going to become good. I hope I'll come back on my point, and I'm hope maybe I will start to recover that loan that way. Maybe people will be open to start also becoming farmer of chick, because I told you I have my own incubator. So I can see, I have hope. Yeah, you know, if you are doing business, you have to face challenges. You have to believe. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. So I would like to hear from Ms. Zubeida. I know you started your business most recently. That's January 2020.
Yes.
Ms. Zubeida, are you here with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, please, can you go ahead, please?
Can you please back to the question? I didn't understand the question.
Okay, so it's pretty much the same question, but what I said was, you started your business most recently, that's January 2020, just before the COVID took the hit that affected most of the countries around the world. So I wanted to find out from you, how has that affected your business?
Yeah, actually, before planning my business, I was like, COVID, we were, all most of my country people were like, COVID has started in China, it will not come back in Rwanda. So we had hope to continue to run our business. So I put in action my business of planting horticultural products, especially habanero chili and broccolis and tomatoes. So after that, I started my business. After a few months, the COVID-19 hit and my country, oh, they told us to close everything, and we were all in total lockdown. So in total lockdown, it was not easy for us because we could not get the way to get to the farm. So some workers, some daily workers, could not get how they could reach to the farm. So I have agreed me myself to go to live near the farm just to manage my farm. So even before planting, I had clients from hotels, from schools, boarding schools. So after that, they were like, we could not buy your product because we are not working. I think you could search another market. And I was like, my goodness, where am I going to put my products? Because there was no plane moving, just to shift from local market. Was adapted as we were starting the business. It was not easy at all, but because it was a pandemic and you had to understand it, that it's COVID-19. We started how we can cope with it and build better with the solution. We sell our product to the local market on the cheaper price, just to leave them. After that, so like nowadays, COVID is kind of reducing because even in our country, we are vaccinating almost most of the people. So we believe that in a few months, we will be coping well. We have tried to give the solution to keep moving forward. I think that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Zubeida.
Yeah.
So now we'll be going for the second round of questions. And I would like to know, and I'm sure our listeners will also want to know, like, how involved are young people in the agribusiness sector in Rwanda? you have many young people involved in agriculture, or do you have more of older people involved in agriculture? I know there's this common belief, or there's this publications that we've seen, that the average age of farmers in Africa is about 60 and above. But then I know there are country-specific situations, but that would just be a summary. So give us insights, and I would like to start with Ms. Zubeda, since you're already here with us and speaking. Can you tell us what you think? Do you have more youth involved in the agribusiness sector in Rwanda?
Actually, recent years ago, it was a myth for our youth that they could not join agriculture. For me, myself, I have seen youth joining agriculture in 2013. That's why I think that we have a youth forum. It's a youth forum that was managed by government to inspire, to involve youth in agriculture, to encourage them, that is supported by Rwandan government. But the good thing now is young people are involving in youth, and we like to see it. Because before, it was meant that agriculture is done by old people. But now, every day, as days goes on, we see youth involving, asking us, we need to be in agriculture. We need to start agriculture, agribusiness. So where can we start from? And that is nice when you understand some youth who you know that who told you they can't join agriculture, while he got started, her parents or his parents, he got school fees from that farming. But that's good. That's good now. And we're inspiring them to join agribusiness. So for the solution of reducing youth unemployment, and we need to get to the point of zero hunger, we need everyone to play his role to join the movement. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So for the benefit of our listeners again, can you name the forum that the government has set up to support youth in agriculture? Ms. Zubeda?
Yes.
Okay, I said for the benefit of our listeners, it could be people that would be interested in going into agriculture but do not know about it. So can you name that forum that you spoke about earlier, the youth forum that has been set up by the government? Can you name the forum?
The forum is called LIAF, Rwanda Youth Agriculture Forum. I think everyone here, they have joined LIAF. And it's one of the big forum for agriculture that help us daily, that communicate us what's good for us, what the government has for us, just to proceed to inspire other young generation to join the agriculture and agribusiness as usual. Thank you.
Thank you very, very, very much. Okay. Now, I'd like Mr. Alex to answer this. Now, during the period where you had to experience a little bit of setback because of COVID, were you able to leverage on partnerships, maybe with other youth-owned businesses? And how did that help you? How did you benefit from that? Or did you have to go out of your way to create new network with more young people to support your own business?
Thank you. Yes, so actually for me to be here, it was an invitation passed by Olaware of JR Farms from Nigeria, which is our new partner. We entered into his company, entered into a partnership with my company, beginning with Rastman officially, but the connecting and the process began last year, and I think it was in November. Really, it was very, very interesting that
when we are looking at how to strategize and also how to come up with the new models to come back to the market, because before COVID and post COVID, things will look different. And so our models mainly were physical. With the way we marketed, it was physical. So how do we reach people in a digital way? So of course, there were no better people to reach to than the young people.
So I would say when I partnered with the Jar Farms, it was really, really helpful. It is even one of the invitations was passed through him to be here. Of course, we were working together for the next 4 years till 2024. So, and of course, the partnership is promising because he's based in Nigeria, and we are based in Rwanda, and we are working on a way to start distributing our products in Nigeria and across Africa, where he has an opportunity to reach. So we are all optimistic because now we are focusing more on oil production than the cosmetics, because we know the external demand will be more than the internal demand, which the internal demand is for cosmetics. So we are improving and we are looking at the way to empower our production capacity, at least to meet his demands. And for sure, it was the best opportunity to partner, because he's a young, he's older than me, actually 1 year. So I enjoy working with him because he's one of the greatest people to work with. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Alex. These are things we like to hear about. You don't have to do your business in your country alone. You can explore exportation. It's interesting. You are all the way in East Central Africa, and we're here in West Africa. We can still do business together. That's true. Follow-up question for you. Okay, not really a follow-up question for you. We just want to know, within Rwanda, do you think a lot of importation of agricultural commodities happen, or Rwanda pretty much produces what it eats?
I would say no, because when you look at our climate, we cannot have everything, of course. So we have a kind of tropics and a kind of equatorial. So because Rwanda has the southern part, which is warmer, then the north part is cold. So those two areas cannot have the same foodstuffs. So like apples, like a lot of vegetables and fruits we import. And then we also import some like fish. We have a lot of fruits that we really import. And when you go to their hotels, they will show you the big list of a lot of imports. However, even those which can be grown in our country, some we still import, because we import like oranges from Tanzania, we import mangoes from Uganda, we import maize seeds from Tanzania, and the maize seeds from Kenya, sometimes from some other countries. So you find that even when we produce, the internal producers cannot fully satisfy the internal market, because Rwanda is a small country when you compare to land and the people. So you find like some countries have a vast land and the population is smaller. So and we cannot have the whole Rwanda with the agricultural activities. We have to have forest reserves. We have to have cities. We have to have ABCD. And the population is increasing. So there will always be a room for agriculture. There will be always be a need for increased produce of agricultural products.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Alex. You've given us so much insight. So the same question to Mr. Prosper. During this period, what kind of partnerships have you built with other youths who are involved in agricultural production or the agricultural value chain? And how have those partnerships helped you?
Thank you. In Rwanda, it's the same. There's about the RIAF, it's the same thing. I think if the participants here, if one of the participants is not part of RIAF, he can join.
Okay, Mr. Pastor, sorry, can you take that again? I think we lost you for a few seconds there.
Part of RIAF. RIAF is Rwanda Youth in Agribusiness Forum. Hello?
I can hear you.
Yes, we can.
Okay. I think all young people involved in agriculture, we are part of Rwanda Youth in Agriculture, for Rwanda Youth in Agribusiness Forum. It's a forum of young people involved in agriculture. So it was founded in. So that's my main partner. That's the partner which sent me to Japan for a 1 month capacity building. That's the partner which has linked my sister, my co-founder, to FAO, where we got a grant of $1,000. It was like a seed capital. So about other partners, we got them through that RIAF. So I just first of all thank the RIAF, what they are doing in partnership partners. So my partner is RIAF. So through RIAF, I got another partner, which is JICA and the FAO. So far, those partners have helped us so much. So my other partner is like a buyer, which is ProxFresh. ProxFresh is always ready to take our French beans at farm gate. Then they sell it to the foreign countries after payment. That's what I can say about partners and their involvement in my company's development. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If you're a young person listening to this podcast, I think it's very important for you to explore being part of the RIAF, that's Rwanda Youth Agricultural Forum. It will be very good for you. Two of our speakers have just told us now that they've benefited immensely from RIAF. And I think if you want to be involved in agriculture and you are in Rwanda, that's the forum to be part of. Thank you very much, Mr. Prosper. Miss Yvonne, do we have you on the line?
I'm around. Yes, hello.
It's good. We haven't lost you due to network issues. Please, can you answer the same question? What partnerships have you built, both within RIAF now and maybe outside of RIAF, and how has that helped your business?
This forum of RIAF, I joined because we have many opportunities, because it's our home where we share our experience, where we get some information, and where we found some information about our business. Let me share you a little bit of my experience. Like Alex said, this last season I have planted watermelon. I said, let me try. Then I buy seed from our shop for agrotech here in Rwanda. So this seed, we found that they are from Kenya. Then, of course, I didn't have enough space or land. So I lent a land, like 1.5 hectares. Then I planted those watermelons. And after 3 months, I was hoping that I'm going to get benefits from it. Then when you see it come a big watermelon, so that it could be so much better when you take it at the market. Like you say that, oh, I'm going to get like 2,000 per one watermelon. So unfortunately, I didn't get any watermelon. If it's big number, I've got, it's 3 peak of watermelon which comes out. That's a big loss. Then I asked myself, how can we get a good seed? Even that happened in those people who cultivate maize. People get some money in banks. They hope that they are going to do business, they get some money from maize. Then they didn't get. You saw a maize, it's good in your land. Then after days, you will found there's nothing inside. So this thing, we put it in. It's a big challenge. We said where we have to say it. Then the government told us that they are going to follow and know the problem, because maybe the seed was problem, because we fertilize, we do whatever, the way you know the process for cultivate. So now what I want to say, if we put together, we found the way to found our seed, where are we sure that this is a good quality. And you can know that when you don't get some information. Where do we have to find some information? Training, sharing experience. Let's take Africa as one country, then we put together, we can, so that we can improve this question that we have in our business, in this agribusiness. Partnerships. For mine, for example, here, because my business it's in Eastern Province, Bujesera. So where we started our cooperative in order to solve our problem, when we put together, when we share, when we have some training, that's the way, one of the way to overcome our challenges. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Miss Yvonne. So now I would like to hear on a final note from each of the panelists. It's been a privilege being your host, but I just want you to package some of the things you've said and just give a final word of encouragement to young people. And maybe you could add something about how they can maximize partnerships. Now, for example, for Alex now, I know you said you already have something with Mr. Olawale in Nigeria. So maybe you could share light on how they can explore and think beyond their immediate environment to look beyond those areas and then try to forge partnerships, not just within the country, but outside. So I'll be starting with Mr. Alex. like final word to young people, how can they maximize partnerships? How can they build partnerships among more youth? Okay, I think we lost Alex. Okay, so the same question. Can you give us a response, Mr. Prosper?
Yes, hello.
Question, final words to the entrepreneurs. How can you, how can they build partnerships with more youth? How can they leverage those partnerships and maximize them to support their businesses this season and then grow that even beyond COVID, the COVID-19 pandemic?
Okay, thank you. First of all, we want to thank those government institutions that decided to partner with young people in agriculture, like the Minister of Agriculture, RIAF. But I think it's not easy. We have been trying many times to partner with like financial institutions. Are they partners too? Hello? Hello?
Yes. Yes, hello, I'm here with you. So yes, definitely financial institutions can be partners with you because you definitely need resources. But we're trying to look at what is that link between entrepreneurs, young entrepreneurs, how can they support one another? For example, if you're into production and then maybe you have someone that's an off-taker who can off-take your product, and then you are all under the same platform, maybe like RIAF now. RIAF is a place where you could find young people by Rwanda's definitions. And with that, how can you leverage those partnerships amongst yourself? Instead of starting out having working through the entire value chain, how can you build those partnerships among yourselves so you have stronger business that are more focused?
Yes. You know, young people today, like they don't, frankly speaking, they don't want to join agriculture. And also, I will not also advise those people in other sectors to force them to come in agriculture. But those who have the passion, who are facing challenges, we can, based on that, passions, we can organize like this inspiration events, showing where we have come from, where we are, then meet those young people who are struggling, encourage them, showing them that this is possible. We are doing it. They can do it too. Coming back, I did agribusiness in the University of Rwanda. I've been trying to find jobs. Then the money I get from the part-time jobs, I invest in agriculture. So we can link with those who have passion. That's what we did. We have our cooperative, it's called Ikoaibu. It's working in Gasau district. Ikoaibu now has 800 farmers, but 30% are young people. I'm one of them, and I'm part of the audit committee of the cooperative. So we come together for the government to give us land. You know, for a young person to get land is the main challenge. And that's the challenge that is hindering young people to come into the sector. So that's what we did. And we are still calling our sisters, our young brothers to come in, and we are doing it. So this is possible. This is what we are doing. So it's a kind of showing people that this business is profitable as long as you give it time and passion. But it's about working with those young people who are passionate about agriculture. So it's very much possible. Our neighbors showing what we are doing, what we are making money from agriculture. And we are sure this partnership with time, they will like increase. With time, the partnership will increase. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Prosper. We've lost quite a few of the panelists at this point, and I'm sure it's due to poor network. But Ms. Yvonne, do we have you online? Ms. Yvonne?
Hello.
Yes. Okay. Thought we lost you there. Okay. So now we're now rounding up. So I want you to give us, like, on a final note, how can young people leverage on partnerships with one another? How can they build those partnerships from this period till when COVID even ends to build strong businesses?
Yeah. Thank you. I think even you know.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I was lost, but I'm back.
Oh, okay. You're welcome. Miss Yvonne, please, can you go ahead?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, yes, I can hear you very clearly. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry. So I was saying that even we have that proverb in Kinyarwanda, which we say, I think everyone can hear this. Nawijira means nobody is enough for himself or herself, which means partnership is very important, very, very important. Because when you are weak, someone's beside you will keep you up. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes.
Which means that partnership is very important for youth in agriculture. And that's what we need, some partners and some supporters. Because, for example, if as I told you, I didn't go to my bank and ask some loan so that I can improve my business, maybe now these days I'm not in good position, or my name will not hear. That's what I want to mean. So partnership we can found in our cooperatives, in our neighbors, in our NGOs, maybe. Yeah, this can lead us to the good, sustainable sustainable for our business in agriculture in Africa. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Yvonne. So I see we got back Ms. Zubeda. So Ms. Zubeda, we're now wrapping up. So we'd like you to give us like a summary of the discussions that we've had today. How can a young person leverage partnerships, especially with the youth now, to build sustainable businesses?
Yes, thank you very much again. First of all, I believe the future of agriculture is in hands of youth. That's why we should be together, work together with all African government, youth, and put more efforts. I believe, first of all, before leveling up, we should train young people on how to do modern agriculture as the solution for the sustainable agriculture. Then also, we can work together if some people are involving in technology for the agriculture, join the farmer, smallholder farmer, rural farmer, farmers from the cities, and all we work together. If some people are in irrigation, and we join together just to work, to put some effort. They say, a team, when we're working a team, we build together to reach to the target that you have. So I think if we have to achieve zero hunger and bring back the resilience of the food system, we could work together, all the government, with the NGOs, with the smallholder farmers, because more especially like nowadays, we could not facing malnutrition in Africa. But because those rural farmers mostly are being ignored, that's why we can face those challenges. So we believe partnership is very needed, like, and bringing us together like today, like I didn't know Prosper Alex at this discussion, and we work together. Thank you.
Zubeda, I think we lost you there for about 45 seconds. Can you go over some of the things you said?
Oh, Lily, my goodness. Okay.
Not everything, just towards the end. I think you mentioned Prosper's name. But I didn't quite catch what you said.
Okay, I was like, partnership is really good and is very needed for the youth and other farmers because like now I know Prosper, I know Arex, so we could meet every time and get high. What can we help each other? When I get the market for French bean, I can call Prosper. I get the market for French bean. Would you supply to these guys? Like, that's what partnership do, to support each other, to level up each other. So I think partnership is very needed, mostly between government, farmers, youth. Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Zubeda. With that, we've come to the end of this podcast series, the third edition of this podcast series. And I'll just like to run over some of the key takeaways that we've discussed about. Now, the first thing is that as a young person, it's important for you to look for ways to mitigate your own challenges. Everybody's challenge that we've listened to today has been so unique in terms of what they have tried to put together to mitigate them. You have people going back to the banks to take loans, people trying to build more partnerships, and then maybe cutting back for just a period so they can come back again to build their business. And also, youth have to leverage on existing systems. We would not come into the agribusiness space and then just create something. without learning from what has already been in existence. Leverage on existing cooperatives, existing institutions. Like if you're in Rwanda now, RIA would be a good place for you to be part of, so you can get some benefits and then grow too as you build your network. Now, the third thing also is that as much as you like to work with young people, it's important for you to identify people who are passionate about their business. We can't force everyone to be in agriculture, but there are people that are working in the agricultural space, and those people can work with us if we see a point where we can leverage on each other and build each other up. Now, we are not going to ignore all other kind of partnerships that we need to build. Even though we want to work with youths, we also need very important areas. For example, we need the government, we need financial institutions, we need so many institutes like the Ministry of Agriculture now to support whatever it is we're doing. And so we should not ignore that if we have to move forward. So on a final note, I would just like to say a word I learned from Miss Yvonne, which is Nawijira. And it means nobody is enough for himself. Thank you very much, panelists. You've been so amazing. You've been wonderful today. Thank you for all the insights. I'm sure our listeners and our audience will also benefit from some of the things we've talked about today. Have a good day. Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you for hosting us. And you are a great facilitator.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you very much. This was very amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay.